You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Gordon.
And I'm Xander Genre.
And together we're
the Library Bards.
And you're listening to The Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 396.
On flopcast.net.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you. Might be sorry.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Okay, you're not really here again this week.
I know.
We announced last week that you'd be back here in Chickentown this week, but then...
That totally was the plan.
Yeah, well, we got snowed out today, didn't we?
That was not the plan.
Man, the winter just came crashing in all at once today, didn't it?
Oh, big time. It's not done yet, either.
So we could not get Cornflake to to Chickentown Studios due to treacherous driving conditions. As a meteorologist, could you confirm that the snow is personally attacking me? Am I correct in taking this as personally as I do?
Oh, Kevin, it's not the snow. It's all of the elements are personally attacking you.
Everything's against me. I knew it.
Yes.
I knew it.
Yeah. Case in point, that rain on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah, I did have a weird rainy Thanksgiving morning. That is correct. We'll catch up on our recent holiday, because I haven't actually spoken to you since before Thanksgiving. So let's do that. But first, you know what? How about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
December 9th, Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers is turning 50.
Okay.
You know I like my 90s music, and
yeah.
You couldn't get away from the Wallflowers in the 90s.
Yeah, I remember this guy. I remember the band. They had two or three songs on the radio that I recall. I guess two. I think I know two songs.
I think probably everyone's heard One Headlight.
Yep.
And then Sixth Avenue Heartache. That's the song I really liked.
Those are the ones I know. I'll bet he has more.
Yeah, there was one that had some popularity, semi-popularity, called Three Marlenas, that people would probably know.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, with my fondness for folk music, and with Bob Dylan being Jacob Dylan's dad.
Right.
The Wallflowers came crashing onto the scene with no real mention of the fact that, oh, this is Bob Dylan's son. Intentionally, I would presume.
But the word was out right away, because as soon as I heard of that band, that's what everybody was talking about.
Right.
Also, just look at him.
Yep.
It's eerie, that resemblance, especially as he's gotten older. Because I think we saw him a few years ago on some TV show or something. And I'm just looking at him. And I said to the mayor as we're watching him, I said, you know, I think Dylan might be his mother also.
Yeah.
That's got to be pure Bob Dylan DNA.
He's the son of two Bob Dylans.
I think he is. There's nothing else blended in there. Have you seen the Wallflowers?
No. Have you?
No. Yeah, I guess we're not exactly super fans then. I like them okay. I thought they sounded fine back then. I haven't really heard much of them since, was that like 1997, I think?
I don't know. Unless you go out of your way, you might not hear anything new from the Wallflowers, but I'm always excited when I hear something new from them. So happy birthday, Jacob Dylan. The big 5-0 on December 9th.
Sure. Happy birthday to Bob Dylan lookalike Jacob Dylan. It's like they're related.
Yeah, it's eerie.
Yes. Well, what's been going on with you? Any Thanksgiving holiday wrap-up talk we should get through before plunging into the rest of the stupid holidays?
Well, I had Thanksgiving, and then I had second Thanksgiving, and then I had third Thanksgiving over the course
third.
Of 2 days. Yes.
You're celebrating like a hobbit.
Big time.
Nice.
And we played a game that made me think of you, Kevin. I know you're not a big game player.
Yeah, weird. There's a game that makes people think of me.
Yes. Well, with your knowledge of pop culture, I think you would have been awesome at this game.
Oh.
And the game is called Blockbuster, as in the movie chain, Blockbuster.
Yep.
And it even comes packaged in an old videotape case. And the challenge is a topic comes up and you have to name as many movies as you can think of that have the theme on the card. So it's things like movies with a vampire in them. And you just go back and forth until somebody can't think of a movie with a vampire.
Oh, Footloose.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's so much going on, like, kind of behind the scenes in Footloose that most casual viewers miss, but not me. You're right. I'd be really good at this game.
You would be surprised how many times Footloose was an actual answer.
It fits every category.
I just didn't think, I didn't think of them for the vampire one, but...
Movies in which Laurie Singer wears red cowboy boots. Go! I would totally win at this game.
So it was a lot of fun. How about you? I was thinking of you on Thanksgiving morning.
Really?
How did that... Well, I felt so bad.
Well, yeah, you knew I was kind of wrestling with how the weather was going to go down on Thanksgiving. A couple of funny things this Thanksgiving weekend, both involving turkeys, oddly enough.
Oh, how festive.
And this is coming from a pescatarian, you know?
It's true. So I presume this does not involve eating turkeys.
There was no real turkey at our Thanksgiving celebration. Just one of those fake tofu turkeys, which we enjoy. But yeah, Thanksgiving morning, I had a what they called an early bird 5K. I went out and raced in a 5K. And yeah, I was a little concerned about the weather because it was sort of raining all night and into the morning. Not too heavy, but the rain was a consideration. And especially because I decided to wear a turkey hat, like a big, goofy turkey hat. Because I thought, you know, let's make this race as ridiculous as possible, turkey hat. Which is a thing people do. I'm not the first person to show up at a race. At this race, I was. Nobody else wore a turkey hat to this particular 5K that I was at.
Yeah, they didn't want to show you up.
Now, I did kind of chicken out, or turkey out, I suppose. I turkeyed out because I did not actually wear the turkey hat for the race itself. Mm-hmm. It's like a big, giant, goofy turkey neck thing. You know, it would have been flopping all over the place, and it's not very aerodynamically sound. However, upon finishing the 5K, I slipped into the turkey hat and just stood around by the finish line. So as other people came in after me, you know, the losers, I call them, as those people came in... They'll get a laugh out of looking at, here's an idiot standing there in a turkey hat. So that's what I did.
Look at you, boosting morale with a turkey on your head.
Yeah, I'm a hero. So that was goofy. Goofy start to the holiday, you know?
I'm sorry the weather wasn't nicer.
It wasn't bad, though. There was barely any rain by the time the actual 5K started, so it was fine.
Oh, good.
The turkey hat completely shielded me from all weather concerns and all concerns in general.
Turkeys are good for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've not taken it off since.
I'm sorry, I'm missing this right now.
This thing has turned my life around. Yeah, it turns out, you know, turkey hat.
Do people treat you different?
Oh, yeah. And also the government can't hear my thoughts anymore. It somehow is blocking. It's really fantastic. So that was a weird turkey thing, number one. Then, you know, our other Thanksgiving weekend tradition. We have the weekend before Thanksgiving. We go see Letters to Cleo, of course, as we discussed last week. The weekend after Thanksgiving is when our pal Nikki Luparelli does her big David Bowie tribute concert and burlesque show in Harvard Square every year. So, of course, there we were. We went to see Nikki again. Mm-hmm. And what a great show, as always, of course, doing all the David Bowie classics and all the burlesque dancers are there. And Nikki's band is great and she sings so wonderfully. Just a crazy fun show. Highlight of the show this time, though, is, you know how there'll be someone whose job it is to collect all the costume parts that the dancers are stripping out of?
Yes.
Somebody's got to pick up the pieces, you know?
They don't seem to mind it too badly.
Yeah, it's a great job. Well, this year, that job was done by a turkey.
You don't say.
There was a girl in a full turkey costume, and she was the one picking up all the costume pieces as they hit the floor.
Dressed like a turkey. You gotta love it.
She was in a full, awesome turkey costume, and she was in character. Like, she walked, she moved, bobbing her head like a turkey, and she did not speak. She only made turkey sounds all night.
It was perfect.
Yeah, it was the best. We loved the turkey girl.
That's entertainment.
Almost as goofy as my turkey hat. Maybe even goofier. I felt I'd found a kindred spirit, though, you know?
True.
So yeah, no actual turkeys did I encounter this weekend, but some goofy turkey costumes.
That does sound like a good time.
What else do you need? What have you been up to?
I got out to a concert recently.
Oh, okay. What'd you see?
I went to go see an artist that bills himself as Gustafur Yellowgold. Have you heard of this?
I've never heard of that. This is a band or a guy?
It's a guy. And right. It is a sci-fi musical.
Oh, weird.
And I...
Is Gustafur Yellowgold like a goofy yellow cartoon character?
He is. And he is a Sundling.
I just Googled it.
So this guy, Morgan Taylor, in addition to writing songs that comprise a sci-fi story about a character from the Sun named Gustafur Yellowgold, also does all of the animation. So I think maybe like the Gorillas, but for a younger audience.
Oh, so this is a show for the kids.
Yeah.
This is a children's concert? Okay. They didn't actually allow any children in the room though, right? Because that'd ruin it.
Well, I actually insisted that they not let any children in.
Yes, yes. As I would as well. Good. That's the move.
Yeah. One of the glorious things about going to a concert for a younger audience is that you don't have to be out super late at night. So you can go get breakfast and then go see a show. And before going in, I got breakfast at a place called Gusto's, and they had Iggy Pop coffee there. So I know where I can get some more.
Okay.
And so that was cool. And as I came out from getting breakfast, I met a guy named Tony Toledo. So a little bit of a side excursion here. Before going to see Gustafur Yellowgold, I met Tony Toledo, who is a local storyteller. And the way I met him was I was admiring his car. Now, Kevin, I've sent you pictures of this car in advance because my description...
I'm looking at this guy's car right now.
It's not going to do it justice. The whole thing, top to bottom, is Sharpied. It's a white car with black Sharpie drawings all over it. Really nice geometric patterns. It looks cool.
I'm looking at a photo, the photo you sent me right now. And yeah, this guy's kind of drawing little designs and things in Sharpie all over the entire car. It does look cool. I mean, to you and me, for weirdos like you and me, it's a cool looking car.
Well, I thought it was cool.
Sure.
And I loved hearing him tell me about the car, but then I had to get over to the Cabot. And aside from this being a children's show, I didn't know quite what to expect, but I figured anybody who's worked with everyone from Wilco to Lisa Loeb, also he's worked with Regina Spektor and Duncan Sheik.
Wow. Jacob Dylan?
No. Strangely, no.
Sounds like he's working his way through the 90s alt-rock scene.
Yeah. Well,
he'll get to the Wallflowers eventually.
Yeah, Rich Robinson from the Black Crowes. I thought, this might be music that I like. And it is that sort of music. It does not sound like your typical children's music. And when I try to think about, okay, what does Gustafur Yellowgold music sound like? I hear everything in it from Ben Folds to Pink Floyd. And so the animation was good, but the music was great. And I've been listening to it ever since. Good stuff.
Now, if this little yellow gold cartoon character, he came from the Sun, he's flying through space, do you think he knows Robilar from Mars?
I wouldn't put it past him.
Because then maybe I'll show up.
Okay.
All right. All right, well, we attended very different concerts this week, I guess.
Yes. I dare say.
Any naughty wardrobe malfunctions at the Gustafur Yellowgold show?
No.
Because the Bowie show that I was at.
The show you were at, on the other hand.
Yeah, a little different story where I was. All right, moving on. Oh, I had a chicken story for you.
Oh, tell me.
How about some chickens in the news?
And now, the Flopcast presents Chickens in the News.
And this is a chicken story from New Zealand.
My favorite place.
Is that your favorite place?
My favorite place that I've never been to.
Okay.
Someday I very much want to go to New Zealand.
I've never been there either, but I think we've done one or two chicken stories from New Zealand and from Australia in the past. So here's another one. They have chickens over there, other side of the world. And There was a chicken auction. Online chicken auction. They're auctioning chickens in New Zealand.
Okay.
So there's a dude down in New Zealand. This guy runs a bed and breakfast in Hamilton, New Zealand. And he thought, yeah, you know what? We could use a couple of chickens around here at the bed and breakfast. I think he had some chickens already. His plan was, let's get a couple more chickens for the eggs for the breakfast part of the bed and breakfast, you know? That's his plan. Get a couple of hens over here, put them to work. And so he places a bid. And this guy's bidding low because he figures, how much does a chicken cost? You know, which I don't know. How much does a chicken cost? Did you ever buy a chicken, Cornflake?
I've never bought any chickens.
I don't know what a good price for a chicken would be. But this guy, anyway, he decides he's going to bid low. You don't want to overpay for a chicken.
No.
We know that much. So his bid, 96 cents.
On a chicken.
He bids 96 cents. He's looking for two hens.
Oh.
So that's...
that's dirt cheap.
Yeah, what is that? What's the math on that? It's like 48 cents a chicken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's a bargain.
I would agree.
So, super low bid, 96 cents. Cornflake, he wins the auction.
What?
The winning bid is 96 cents. Bargain of the century, right?
Yeah. What kind of auction is this?
Had I known chickens could be scooped up for like 48 cents each, why, there'd be chickens crawling all over the studio right now.
They'd be everywhere.
Here's the twist, Cornflake.
I thought there might be a twist.
He did not win two chickens. The auction was actually for 1,000 chickens.
For 96 cents?
This guy won 1,000 chickens for 96 cents. That is correct.
Wow.
There were 1,000 chickens available. He thought that you could just place an order. How many do you want? But no, that bid that he put in was for the entire lot
of
1,000 chickens.
Man accidentally purchased 1,000 chickens.
Yeah, so it turns out what was happening was this was an urgent sale because there was a free-range egg farm was closing.
Oh.
So they had to clear out their entire stock of 1,000 chickens. And apparently the bidding was not exactly fast and furious because here's your winning bid. And they were like, great, we'll send them right over to you.
Wow. Oh, no.
Now, good news is New Zealand bed and breakfast dude did not actually have to take 1,000 chickens. The story broke, and other people came forward offering to help find homes for the other chickens.
Oh, that's awesome.
A New Zealand animal refuge got involved. They worked it all out. They found homes for 1,000 chickens.
Yeah, because otherwise this just sounds like a bad sitcom.
Oh, I love the visual. Can you imagine if just a tractor trailer pulls up at the bed and breakfast and they throw the doors open and 1,000 chickens just come spilling out demanding their breakfast?
Yep. You're welcome.
Would have been fantastic. So this is a happy little chicken story from New Zealand.
Happy ending. Yeah.
They found homes for 1,000 chickens. And this little article, this is from thetakeout.com, which is like a food-related blog, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It ends by noting that this guy has a new nickname coming out of the story. Now people call him the Chicken Man.
The Chicken Man. So he didn't have to keep the chickens, but I guess he gets to keep the moniker.
He got the name. That's right. So I guess we should start bidding on chickens because, man, they're going cheap, evidently.
I think I'm going to not bid on chickens, actually.
You could have thousands of chickens arriving.
Or I could not have thousands of chickens.
You love it. As soon as I win an auction, I'm sending the chickens to your house.
Oh, please don't.
Now, I know they filmed all those Lord of the Rings movies in New Zealand. Were there chickens? I'm trying to remember. I feel like those hobbits might have had chickens. They must have, because all they do is eat. You know, those hobbits, they have like 18 meals a day. They have three Thanksgivings, just like you.
Just like me.
They must have some chickens going there. I'll have to rewatch Lord of the Rings and look for chickens. Let's carve out like a week and a half so we have time to rewatch the Lord of the Rings movies.
I think that's a good idea.
All right, that's what's happening in New Zealand, Cornflake.
Love it.
Super cheap chickens. Chickens in the news.
Now I just want to go there even more.
All right, we got to wrap up. Want to do a super quick figgy pudding pages?
Yes, tis the season.
It's the holidays. We've been talking Thanksgiving, but obviously we're barreling right towards Christmas now. I have the book here. You don't have the book over there. I have the book here in Chickentown. Whatever Happened to Pudding Pops? It's our book of stuff from the 70s and 80s. I also have a giant supercomputer here with me in the studio. You stole this computer from NASA. You drove down to Florida. You rented a tractor trailer big enough to hold 1,000 chickens.
Yep.
And now we have a supercomputer capable of generating a random number. So we're going to use that computer to determine what page we open to in this book of 70s and 80s stuff. Whatever is on that page, we shall discuss. And because this is not regular pudding pages, but this is the figgy pudding pages for the holidays, whatever subject we land on, we're going to have to make it holiday themed.
Can't wait.
All right, here we go. I'm hitting the big giant red button on the supercomputer right now. And Cornflake, we are turning to page 127.
This is my favorite thing about the holidays. I can't wait to see what we landed on.
This is a good one. You might know something about this. I hope you do. Cornflake, we're on page 127 is Nancy Drew.
I do know a thing or two about Nancy Drew.
Did you read any Nancy Drew books back in the day?
Here's the thing. I only read the books that were both Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys together.
Oh, wow. You'd only read the crossover combo books.
Right. Well, those are the only ones that I knew existed. I didn't know that there were books with the two of them separately.
Okay. I knew you'd have some weird spin on reading these books.
Completely unintentionally.
I'd expect nothing less. So you read Nancy Drew Hardy Boys combo books.
Yes.
I've read a bunch of Hardy Boys books. I don't think I ever read the Nancy Drew books.
And I've never read just the Nancy Drew books.
Yeah. Well, how were they? The combo Hardy Boy Nancy Drew books. Did you like them?
I liked them. I liked them right up there with the Choose Your Own Adventures books.
Yeah. How many are we talking about? How many of these books did you read?
Well, I must have read like 5 or 6 of them.
Ah, all right. That's a bunch. And back in the 70s, there was the TV series. Well, there's a Hardy Boys show and there was a Nancy Drew show. And they'd kind of mash them together sometimes as well. And that was with the Hardy Boys was Sean Cassidy and Parker Stevenson. And then Nancy on the TV show, I think there were a couple of different actresses played Nancy Drew back in the 70s. But the classic Nancy was Pamela Sue Martin. She was very good. But did you know, Cornflake, there's a new Nancy Drew TV series?
I didn't know this. Tell me about it.
It just started, like this fall. There's a new Nancy Drew show.
Okay.
Yeah, she's back.
Where is it? Where do I find this show?
I don't know. It's on TV. It's on one of those stupid channels on the TV.
Okay. Well, I'll never find it.
Yeah, it's out there somewhere. I've been watching it. I'm not sure why.
Well, Nancy Drew's cool.
Yeah, I can't figure out if I like this show or not, so I'm like, I don't know, 5 episodes in or something. It's pretty ridiculous.
I like ridiculous. I think we've established that.
First episode, though, they go to visit a psychic, and the psychic is played by Pamela Sue Martin.
Oh, neat.
Nancy Drew back in the 70s, so that was cool. I like that kind of stunt casting.
Cool.
I'm hoping they have her on again. She was only in the first episode. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out if I should continue wasting my time with this goofy new Nancy Drew show.
I'm going to say yes.
All right, I've got my orders.
I like, if you haven't picked up yet, I like suggesting ways that people can waste their time.
Yes, thank you. And it does not affect your schedule at all, just mine. So you can just toss that out. Yes, definitely keep watching. Go do that.
But I'll tell you what I want to check out.
Yes.
The 18th book of the Nancy Drew Diaries series.
That sounds very specific. Are you Googling over there right now?
Me? Googling? During a show? Well, this was important. This was necessary for tying everything together for the figgy pudding pages because the 18th book of the Nancy Drew Diaries series is a Nancy Drew Christmas.
Hey, now we're talking.
Google to the rescue.
You did it. There is a Nancy Drew Christmas book. Good to know. Hopefully they'll do a Christmas episode of the new TV series. That'd be good, too.
That'd be fun.
I'm a couple of weeks behind right now, I think. I'm trying to catch up on all these stupid shows. Just yesterday, before the football game, I was desperately trying to get in an episode of Nancy Drew. You know, like a real football fan.
Really shoehorning that in. Nice.
Yeah. I was getting a Turks from Brittany. You ready to go? Game's about to start. And I'm like, yeah, I'm busy. I'm watching Nancy Drew. Yeah.
I like your priorities.
Yes, yes. All right, well, I'm glad that we can celebrate the holidays with Nancy Drew. We'll have to track down the Nancy Drew Christmas book.
You and me both.
There's going to be a Brady Bunch Christmas TV show this year as well. That Brady House renovation show that they did a couple months ago. They're doing a Christmas special edition of it.
Oh, wow. I mean, how does that even work?
they're going to decorate the house for Christmas, I guess.
Oh, cool.
I assume.
So they're going to let him back in, I guess.
They're letting the Bradys back in to Christmasify the actual Brady house, I guess. There's something happening.
Maybe they never left.
In a way, they've just been trapped in that stupid house for 50 years. I'll watch that anyway.
I might watch it.
You should.
I think somebody could twist my arm.
Have you seen A Very Brady Christmas?
Yes.
The 1988 made-for-TV movie? Man, I love that thing.
Yes, that it was glorious.
It's so dumb.
Well, that's what made it glorious.
Absolutely.
Was there a lot on TV in 1988 that wasn't dumb? I think that was just kind of a thing at the time.
Very Brady Christmas, they had fake Cindy.
Right. It was a little weird.
Each Brady reunion show has a different fake Brady girl. Very Brady Christmas, fake Cindy. It was super festive. And fake Sam the Butcher.
Oh, I missed that part somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, watch carefully at the very end. You'll love it. Well, hopefully we'll have a fake Christmas Nancy Drew as well this year. It'll be the best Christmas ever.
You won't hear me complaining.
Yes. All right, Cornflake, I think we meant for this to be a short show, and as usual, we've just been yammering on and on. I'm just going to stop right now. Get us out of here.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website. Facebook.com/Flopcast is another place we like to hang out on the internet. We're also on Twitter. Our handle there is @Flopcast. And we're on Instagram, @_Flopcast.
Yes, that's where to find us. All right, Cornflake. Well, I'm going to go poke around in the couch cushions and see if I can come up with 96 cents. And then next time we get you down here safely to Chicken Town through the storm, hopefully you're going to meet 1,000 chickens.
Maybe put them all in a sleigh. Peace and cookies.
Howdy. This year, the Earth Station One podcast will experience its favorite geek out moment with episode number 500.
That's over 9 years of nerdy pop culture reviews, interviews, and con reports.
Join the celebration with Mike and Mike each week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media player.
We can also be found all over social media or at ESONetwork.com. Peace.
And we're done.
Okay, Cornflake.
Hi.
Hi, this is, of course, the secret after show. What's going on?
I have another thing to suggest for you to waste your time on, but it's not a TV show.
Okay, not a TV show.
Do you remember back when we had the Flopcast book club and we were trying to read Why Did the Chicken Cross the World?
Yes, we had it was a book, nonfiction book about the history of the chicken.
I went to the bookstore at the time and I picked up that book, but I picked up another book and it was called Dirty Chick. And it had a picture of a chicken on the front. So, funny thing was, I was reading the wrong book because the Dirty Chick book caught my attention. And Dirty Chick is by an author named Antonia Murphy. And we were talking about chickens and New Zealand in this show. The story is about a time in her life where she and her family uprooted and moved to New Zealand to basically run a farm. So I highly recommend reading Dirty Chick.
That's a lovely idea. We should all read Dirty Chick. I'm going to give away the ending right now, though.
Okay.
This new farm that these people started in New Zealand, they immediately go out of business due to a very poor business plan. They were selling chickens at the rock bottom price. Yes. 96 cents for 1,000. We'll take them.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.